guys.
Well, welcome to the Big Sky Christian Fellowship. It's so nice to have all of you with us this afternoon.
Do you guys think of any examples of things that we remember as being really great?
Passions never fail.
But then when you revisit them every morning,
they tend to not be as faithfulness.
I say to myself, the Lord is
guys for anything that fits that.
When I was a kid, my parents took my brothers and I to the state fair.
I
remember a magical day when
the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb.
We got to pet animals.
Found the stone rolled away.
My mom was happy when they entered
the Rogers concert.
The Lord and Jesus.
For an 8-year old, we're wondering about this.
Suddenly, two men in clothes leave like light stood behind them.
The mall stood
beside them, and in their fright, concert
band. The women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you couldn't wait to go back?
Dead?
He is not. Then, about 20 years later, I went back.
Remember how you told
me? Same state fair. I quickly realized that for most adults, those giant rides were actually
for this
really
afternoon.
Small, kind of sketchy, and pulled in on a pickup truck in a trailer.
As we watched that video, we saw those
beautiful stuff we had at home in India. We saw him and Anita undergo an operation.
Penny Rogers,
this is true, was still touring,
was still playing
at the state fair
for a decade.
Saw only darkness.
Suddenly it was bothersome.
Couldn't see what they touched or what was all around them.
And I you guys think of something that you once held in high esteem,
only to eventually decide
that the fact that
the ideal
ever
was much better than the present day.
When your doctor unwraps the gauze, you guys are like,
this is a common human realization. I think everybody here with a little bit of time will give an example of something that we idealize more than our ongoing experience.
I want to ask you guys a question that hopefully ties all this together.
So this afternoon I want to talk about the
church.
I want to talk about the idea of church. I want to talk about this church. And I think if we're honest, most of us would think that at times church fits into the same category.
I'll follow that up with
a few more questions. The church is an incredible thing.
There's someone that you've been holding in recognition for years.
Are meeting together.
There
were things that changed the paradigm,
self-defeating behaviors that you've given up
sharing with those in need,
overcoming,
and then worshiping God and not wanting
shame
stop.
Or remorse.
It's so dynamic and it's so beautiful.
Relationships, thousands
long
over
the
desire to see.
But of course, that's not all we are.
This afternoon, we're going to look at one of the most beautiful scripture passages in the whole
Sometimes
Bible.
If we're honest,
comes from Lamentations 3.
I just read it out loud.
Sometimes we spend the whole hour hoping
the sisters are in that video.
Talk to us.
That there's dark and neglected,
some hopeless, and I apologize for
lives. The sermon is so boring.
There's an absence
being in
mercy in our relationships.
For everyone in this room, there's time as well.
Outlook.
The Lamentations church is much,
more
less dynamic
about God's promise
than this ideal
that we read about
mercy and Acts
to those areas.
So I want to spend the next 15 minutes studying this passage
and searching for answers
about 3/4 of the way through the Old Testament.
So dynamic.
I want to show you some beautiful things
sometimes
poet is searching
our modern experience
in this passage.
Loud all points for us.
Fortunately,
the Bible has
this poem is all about God looking for
a great
so I want to study this
life.
Problem and I want to study this last
verse parts of this mercy.
In section 1, I want to talk about common problems.
Talk about this poem,
or just
these 2 or 3 lines of the poem,
even in the
2 quick parts.
In section 1, I want to talk about
structure
and context of the Book of Lamentations.
Suggestions on the spirit
of this thing that it sounds
we can have.
And more relevant dynamic
sound experience.
And then in section 2, I want to bring out three encouragements
from our guests.
I realize we talked about the same passage last week,
and it's just,
I think it's saturated our lives
with mercy.
It's meant to bring my heart
and add hope to that
every season
again.
It's worth talking about it a little bit.
All right, let's get started. Section 1.
Well, in Acts chapter
2, we talked about
this book,
and what a dynamic church can look like.
I just want to point out that the rest of the book of Acts also foreshadows a little bit
that
we're not always going to
first point this. We have to know that this is a poem of
lament some of the specific problems
during the lowest time in Jerusalem.
We're talking about how Israel sometimes
is less than
this poem.
Tim Keller was a pastor in
the years that we're going to focus on today
for many decades.
We're written in a moment
of national and spiritual
economic.
And I want to talk about
just
why that's
opposed to the idea of church.
He had
a quote that said
this. The whole Book of Lamentations,
all the arguments against the existence of God,
historical event,
all the arguments against
the existence of truth,
586 BC,
even they do not
when
Babylonian
invaders
came in and just destroyed everything.
G.K. Chesterton says, at best,
the main argument
against the Bible is the second of Christianity,
born from 5.
that led to a 40-year exile, all too often in the reality of Israel.
That frustrates and discourages.
It was actually a historical event that did
not want to enter into.
I've got a book that I read a lot for reference and research. It's called Jerusalem, the biography.
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons for that. I'll go through these really quickly.
But archaeologists announce lives that dates as well as a siege in the book of Acts. The Judeans usually lived on lentils and wheat and barley, but the pipes contents.
Look really quick at Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 3.
And disease,
again, this is just one chapter after the end of that passage we're reading about.
That is what was happening during this time.
And if you get a chance to read the chapter of Capricorn and Sadducees, it's 99% speaking to the sad.
Absolutely, it greatly disturbed what Israel is experiencing during that time.
Why is that significant?
It's because today's
three verses,
because it was full of hope at the new jail.
And that's a beautiful reminder to us that we can experience
one chapter after the ideal that we're encountering.
And it's telling us that
no government at this time,
the day-to-day life,
somehow people outside of the church,
the temple was smashed and burned, and they hate it.
Sometimes when I'm meeting somebody for the first time and we're having a conversation,
the significance of this
conversation in 2023 moves to that question. What
no matter how bad things are for you,
when people are sick
of life,
but sometimes when I say that I'm a pastor,
these messages that God's
their eyes get big, like I'm
God's
horribly disfigured, and then they quickly look away.
And I always feel bad about
government because there was something in that
some sort of negative
bubble.
You can still find it hope in God's
trust
towards the church.
And we see even here,
this means that when our foundation, support system, finances,
what's another issue that we face that sort of makes
level
accomplishing this dynamic a real difficulty?
Well, we see that sometimes even people,
anybody that's like your teenagers ever play video games,
can cause complications.
Maybe you went to the arcade and played
inside the church
and Donald Trump.
What would happen? You put a quarter
inside the church.
False
motives.
You made a mistake with everybody else.
Like if you made not going to get into it too deeply
right now, but in
the same
by the ghost
and by the barrel to couple on a third
part of this group that we read about in today's.
Maybe you guys play more sophisticated computer games today
and buy a health meter.
Every time you make a mistake on this,
you're giving money to the church.
Believe in the church enough to give money to it.
And I think they're not totally
things like these games
create a false ideal
to the way that we
created the disturbance.
And they're like
the love
and
the patience
severely and the mercy
for it
of God.
But again, this is just
maybe you struggled with something,
maybe there's something about
it, it's a difficult relationship with
our church in chapter 2.
All of us
be like, oh, the church is always going to be
like
dynamic, it's always going to be awesome, it's never going to disappoint us.
Health meter,
I guess we just get on
lower
and lower.
It's not what the
manifestation
is.
Here's a final example saying that
it says there's going to be confusion in our lives
as to how to follow God's
favor.
Because previously,
his presence
doesn't run out with three mistakes.
It
doesn't get less and less like the health meter.
God's presence is hidden.
As a matter of fact, we have to think of it constantly in the opposite way.
It's telling us that
the undeserved favor that he gives us.
God
totally regenerates
the world
every single
sure you can imagine,
and I think that's going
to
be
so more
awkward
the way that we look at it
in that transition.
Listen to what it says in Acts 7:44
to Lamentations 3:22-24 is telling
us. Peter preaching.
So that's the first significant thing about the context.
So this is
it was written during a moment. He says
this:
a
national and spiritual
Acts 7:44.
Our ancestors
had the tabernacle
of the covenant law
in my wilderness.
It had been made as God directed Moses according to the pattern he had
instilled.
And after receiving the tabernacle, our ancestors under Joshua brought it with them to
make
the
mercy of
the
gods
that God drove out
every day.
Here's another thing that's really cool to point out.
So, Lamentations, the five chapters, are written with a fascinating contrast.
It was Solomon
who built a house for him
in dejection.
However, the most high
does not live.
Let me explain what I mean by that.
As
each chapter of Lamentations details the misfortune and the suffering of the people in Israel at that time.
And there's really dark stuff.
Maybe some guys are signing over it right now.
All these things.
Talking about how three people.
There's even a way of explaining to this crowd that's not sure what's happening.
But it was always God's plan
that
His presence would transition from us.
located in a holy place, and this would be impossible to pick up unless you got these people bringing that presence out.
The first line of every single
world, and I'm sure that you guys can relate.
Every single line,
but sometimes we don't get that.
Different letters, like different.
I told you guys last week we were talking about that.
So even though we're reading all these terrible things,
so the Old Testament God appears in flames in a lot of places, and it says here in Pentecost 2 that these flames appear.
And there's something really interesting about this. It's telling us that even in the depths
now
of failure and ruin, the
Holy Presence is with us.
To the great narrator, to God,
there's still order and structure.
It was about
3 or 4 weeks ago when
the Pony's telling us that there's structure and control.
This doesn't
even
happen
in
a lot of
history.
But it was a rough day at the Larson house.
Maybe it's up like today that the average ones were not
cooperating.
And that there was a cooperation
between God keep us from accomplishing all the things that we had decided
to do. I'm sure that there's somebody that day.
Multiple people.
Things got really rough.
Shouting, saying really bad things,
financial in my driveway. Everybody going up to grades from school,
suffering
right?
In some shape
and
or form.
And all of a sudden, I look over to my side.
This home reminds
Barber, 22-year-old
to God,
kid,
there's structure and control
to our church
even in pain and suffering. And I hope that is encouraging to you, like it's encouraging to me.
It's his pastor.
Your life is
saying
not
terrible things to his wife and his kids. And in that moment, you
random.
It's
God.
It's
order and there's a purpose.
You're no longer carrying God.
Someday you'll see that.
Community that needs to
right.
See it.
The
third interesting thing about the structure in the context of land
similar,
you probably experienced similar things. So,
in two ways.
You know, there's a problem with this ideal that we see in Acts 2.
So Lamentations chapters 1 and 2 are in a process where every single line starts with that different letter
that
we can help with it. But then
there was an American chef novelist, Flannery O'Connor,
pattern that broke
here,
and now there's actually three lines.
You don't serve God by saying the church is
not something you would pick up on in English,
but
pain significantly
because the original audience is telling us
a sign of
all this pain, there's all this misery, there's all this suffering.
That's really profound.
When we feel that the church, this church, that
and
church,
then
is falling short,
as we kind of
feel
and kind of contrast these verses with all the other difficult things that the poet is observing,
let me remind you what it says. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not.
So I'd like to wrap up with two things that I think
never fail.
You have reward catalysts,
or agents of change,
or
things that we can remember
that help us
or I will wait.
Come closer to that target.
So you're reading
all that is dynamic.
Awful thing, awful thing, awful thing, awful thing,
over and over again.
The first one is this.
I'll give you a couple examples.
Poet says,
in Acts 2, Peter preaches a salvation that brings an ongoing transformation.
So, in conclusion of section 1, chapter 2 breaks the pattern of
you become a follower of Jesus
Christ.
Breaks
the pattern of the poetry up to that
saved.
Point.
Something that happens in that moment.
But,
poet's countenance,
you'll never stop.
Depressed.
He's despised.
And I think one of the problems
with
the modern church, and I'm a pastor, so like I'm pointing the finger at myself as well. But the problem
God's
is sometimes
renewing
we think that once we become a follower of Jesus, it's over.
So the title of our sermon series this month is Pattern Breakers.
That's really not what
we
just
want to show you
something
to this first group,
and that's not how they're responding
to patterns of our
behavior. Last, you have a question
to think about in another
way.
Is your conversion to a Christ follower
just
an event in your life?
Or
does it still impact your identity?
The passage does that in those two ways.
Become a Christian and
let's move on here to section 2.
I just want to draw out three just really beautiful, hopeful, relevant things.
I'll tell you a story that I think illustrates this verse in a way that at least
moves me.
The first thing I want to point out is
this
scene by the voice
of Margaret Sona,
the person writing it,
world
is somebody who suffered greatly
from the
considered voice spike box.
Let's look at
it only lasted
M&K round
in verse 1.
We're given the name of
war information.
It
says in verse 1,
I am the man who has seen affliction.
Well, Thomas
Brown
is a soft-spoken,
tall
kid
from Detroit.
And
when
we read in the Bible
as we are
experiencing God's
wrath,
it means
that
sometimes
God
has
two or three different coats,
but it's all stolen.
So when our
things that
he said,
I want to be a
boxer,
he was
good at it,
punishment.
God.
Sometimes people
really
suffer innocently, but when it talks about God's wrath,
there's bullies
consequences.
Leave him alone,
that are being
his identity would change.
And so when it starts off here in Lamentations
3:1,
and
he
was thought of
the poet
like the most powerful right book in the whole
record.
For the
first round,
Marvin Hagler
is so hard
in the face,
saying
in
this situation,
that's got to
be uncomfortable for both
by
right? within the nation.
I don't know who got it for me.
And to kind of illustrate that, I just want to kind of
differentiate
some of the things we experience and suffer from that we feel like
how badly he felt that winning the title would change his identity, would change his past, and maybe we're innocent, it would change his presence.
So I want to tell you about the crazy thing is that his opponent, Marvin Hagler, and these are two totally unrelated, different individuals. They've been a manager, construction worker for 8 years.
His funerals that
about just like a guy who never wanted to go back.
He smoked and drank every day for decades.
At the end of the second round, the blood was pouring down Hagler's face. His health was terrible.
They called over the
never made much of an effort to
hold down the job. Ringside doctor had to
kick him out of the church just to touch the because it just stopped the fight.
Too out of the church. Dangerous.
Fast.
Hagler famously said to the doctor,
but then there was Beverly. Died of natural causes at an old age. Came from a
young family and
fighting for grandmother of all the grandparents who died in their life.
Everybody treasured the recipes.
She wrote down our
grandmother about fibrosis.
Hagler was one
with
a
relative of dozens of people.
Knockout, a single bad
rule in the single
well-off. He retired from boxing.
Can I just start? Flesh that out. Sometimes you think
that the feather is
very beautiful out of the winner.
But winning that fight changed his future.
Lamentations 3 is specifically,
and I think this creates an interesting construct to look at how so many of us Christians view
our salvation. Was smashed and burned as punishment.
That first guy winning that fight would have changed
and
his
that is the context
in his present circumstances.
Fully the spectrum passing.
He finally has the
I'm sure there's many areas of your life where you have been
and that gave him an incredible level of devotion.
Keep it up.
Fighting with a broken hand.
Keep managing those things.
But that other guy. That second guy.
Hope and lamentation.
He believed that winning that fight would change
deepest
the people that
past, present, and in
his future.
And they lost the
only super to get in that level of
the lost hope to see things fixed.
So I just want to take a second to think about
the joy that he decided to follow
all
Christ.
God's love.
Was it a motivation that it would change your identity and presence?
Would you like marvelous?
A second really beautiful and hopeful and encouraging thing from today
to Mark versus
I did everybody would.
The most dynamic,
but I digress.
Are you like that second guy who believes
in us?
No matter how deep your troubles are, God's mercy regenerates like a sunrise.
And we look at what's so dynamic about
what Peter is preaching here
in Acts to what it says in verse 23.
He's talking about God's mercy and compassion.
Doesn't just
and says they're new every morning,
change there and forever.
And you can continue.
But what's the one obvious
as
thing
a result
every morning is God?
For them,
it's the sunrise, right?
Let me just point
sunrise
out
is what's new every morning.
Examples from
so this
past.
Masterful poet Paul is telling us
in his early
God's verse chapter 2,
shining into
our
lives,
forever changed.
His refreshing mercy,
like verses the sunrise. 7 to 8,
they have new.
No matter how dark the night is, what's going to happen?
New way dawns.
Supernatural
sun's
ability
come out.
Again,
it says that they have
Brad,
new
we were up on the mountain on Easter,
it says
and it was dark and harsh
cold
and
for Brad's
you were
Easter service.
Now,
we knew
that the sun was going to break
through.
We have these new relationships.
Everybody, because that's what the sun does.
It says that they have new realizations.
And poets ever since
Peter's
Lamentations
have
been
Joel chapter
2, Psalm
chapter
2. One writer named Norton
Blaine
Schuster says this,
people,
every sunrise
new things
that they never understood before.
Let this morning
have a moving response.
About a better relationship.
It says in verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart.
It's an opportunity to enjoy life,
and
breathe freely, think, and love.
They're baptized in verse 41.
Each new
and then in verse 42 to
47.
My favorite poet, Billy Collins, wrote
this
in a poem called Morning.
Just ask you guys who have been following
why do we even bother
the rest of the day?
When you go to church,
wail at an
afternoon,
suddenly
get into the
evil gate.
Then night with
its notorious perfumes and
another that
having its stars.
No morning
is the best.
They're
going
out of covers.
Their salvation.
Feet on the cold
now going to bring about a light
buzzing around the house
on espresso.
Not just a one-time
decision. This is
the
hopefulness that comes
to us
on morning.
But
it's going to be better than the next day. We're going to make progress. We're going
to so catalyst number one is that you have to change
and that's a little bit
of salvation.
Becoming
a Jesus follower doesn't mean
you change
in that moment and then never again.
Life change.
Salvation is a one-time event,
not only
is
the
but it's meant
to give you
a chance to get everything
exposure
right.
Exposure to church.
It's specifically that
new experiences, new relationships, new realizations,
new
allotment
of God.
I think with that mindset,
we experience
every
new
thing,
situation
so much more
than we fit.
Then we just kind of phone it in.
You know,
go through the moment.
The Bible,
I appreciate your attention. Let's wrap it up.
God's
second catalyst that I think that we see here in Acts chapter 2. The congregation of this new church.
In Luke 15, we have the story of the prodigal son, and God is celebrated.
We're told that God is like your father who runs out. Let me just read a couple of them. In Acts 2:41, it says they're all getting baptized.
Of course, baptism on the cross
doesn't mean that our sins are clean. God forgive. We talked about that this summer in a couple of sermons.
That's mercy.
Baptism is a reminder to us that just like Jesus died and rose from the dead, we go under the water and come back out of the water.
Literally,
our new identity is that not that we are people that have been changed.
Cries out in prayer.
That's what baptism is all about.
And these people are getting baptized.
We have the story of a woman named Celebrate.
We don't know a lot about her.
We just know that Jesus tells us in verses 42 and 46 that they're breaking the bread and we celebrate the Lord's Supper.
You shouldn't be surprised.
But we have to expect that the fellowship
tells us that God is the mercy that regenerates every reminder that every
round
of
scripture
about your God.
Overflows to the Passover lamb
situation,
if we could all enter into this new spiritual life.
Let me close with one final thought.
See how the habits of this new church,
God's greatest celebrateness,
and recreating for others, 3:23,
is ultimately for
verses 44 and 45
is for selling things off
and giving their possessions away.
So in Lamentations 3:23 introduces this idea that God's fellowship comes into our lives,
verse 47 says, it will
morph into new spiritual life.
It's resulting
from the reflect on what that means in this passage
again, in that point.
Or on the first day of the week, very early.
So I just want to ask you guys this question.
If we grasp
that so many of the things that we do and heard without really thinking about it
are meant to remind us of the importance of our new spiritual life
and
have
to celebrate the new spiritual life
of others at sunrise.
Communion.
Let me wrap up with this, and I hope everything
makes
sense.
When we read Lamentations 3:23,
the poet tells us,
as well as celebrating
the new life of new
comes into our lives
around us,
full in new ways every morning.
And that let me close with the final illustration.
It's also just
when you're working on a concrete tree,
and it's
hard when the hard things of life hit.
Take ourselves out of a family meal.
Enter into something.
A family meal is when a lot of fancy restaurants
or the restaurant
another sunrise.
It's a daily meal that the restaurant serves
hopefully
filled.
Because when they come to find Jesus' body on that first Easter sunrise,
it's not there.
But many times death
hasn't held in time.
The chef is trying to create something new that they might
have on the menu.
Jesus,
that chef has never ever
been so before.
What I'd like to leave you with
is that
the hope of God's mercy flowing into our lives,
great incredible ways.
Don't just want four things on the menu that never change, right?
Go to Best Burgers.
It's something that's
one of the same four things over and over.
It's something that's been entirely generous.
But the really great restaurants, Jesus
Christ,
are coming out with
new ingredients,
rising from the grave.
New things that
offer
that
righteousness,
and we are
together as staff.
They never cease.
I'd like to invite the worship team to come forward
and wrap up our
in the same way.
I think
this church is dynamic in Acts 2.
Trying to experience these things.
We're celebrating the new life of the new believers.
We're celebrating
no matter how
hard for
it, your outlook,
all these things,
or your habits,
continually reminding
your sufferings to be
this
they are.
Now I'm new, now I'm
transformed.
3:19-21.
And I think what happens is sometimes in the church,
favor
after you've gone for 10
years, a year,
we just kind of lean away from the messy
power
of the sunrise.
Seeking out their faith.
I know it's hard to picture a sunrise right now.
It's not about
people to be here tomorrow.
We're kind of seven McDonald's.
Right.
At that point, right?
Promise.
We're keeping the same.
But God's not
saying that you
are
no longer that organization
like that family.
No longer
that restaurant.
It's into the
life. Trying to experience.
I'll just throw out there that I have a degree in literature and I have an advanced degree in Bible. And when I go to a Bible study or a small group on a Wednesday or a Saturday morning, there's a pretty low chance that I'm going to hear something that I've never read or heard before. But when I'm around other people that are processing the new things that they're learning, it softens my heart, it encourages me, keeps me pliable and loving the church and loving Jesus. I think there's some of you that need to hear that. Maybe it's a Wednesday night, maybe it's a Saturday morning, maybe it's a women's Bible study, and you just think to yourself, I've read that book. I know that author. I'm sick of going to small groups. It's not always for you. Sometimes it will be. Sometimes it's like here, is to celebrate the new life that's occurring in the other people in the group. Sometimes it's to stop at their part in a beautiful way. Because new life is what? Church is all about.
So I'd like to invite the worship team to come forward and close our service with a final song or two. Let me just close with this. The church in Acts 2 experiences dynamic growth, not seen in most churches, yet there's nothing in it that we can't duplicate. I want you guys to think about the two catalysts in today's chapter. I want you to think about how your salvation should continually bring transformation, and I want you to commit to habits that celebrate and facilitate new spiritual life. That's how we can have a church that's so much closer to the ideal that we see here in Acts 2.